Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I am Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jason Jones.
I hope your volume is loud enough.
We'll find out.
You'll probably get agitated about something and then it'll clip.
Nice.
You know, I guess the angry video game nerd, he records in two channels and one is like high and one's low. So he can like choose which one has their correct modulation.
So when he gets angry, then he can go to the lower one?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So he won't have over-modulation. Yeah, that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
That's the nerd part, I guess.
Nerd rage. Our topics today are VR helmets. Why is everyone making one? Titanfall, which is a video game that was released last week. And then Jones wanted to talk about Oscar comedy snubs?
Just kind of, yeah, the whole thing where it seems like comedies don't get any recognition at the Oscars.
Is this because American Hustle was nominated for 5,000 Oscars and won, what, zero?
Yeah, it didn't win anything, but yeah, kind of. Like,
well, of course it wouldn't, because Silver Linings Playbook won like two years ago.
Yeah, but I think it only won Best Actress. Maybe it won Screenplay.
Did it? Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Well, it's a poison chalice. It had Jennifer Lawrence in it and was directed by David O. Russell.
Yes.
And Lily Tomlin was on the voting panel this time. And she wanted revenge for I Heart Huckabees.
Yes, that's what it was. She cast all her votes for Matthew McConaughey, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so those are our topics. So since we talked about movies last time, I'll always start with one of the video game ones.
Very well.
Oh, and I have my voice fully back this time.
Nice.
Just like in The Little Mermaid.
Which they're making a live-action version of.
Oh, God.
Sofia Coppola's directing it.
Why?
For God knows what reason.
Oh, and Gollum is directing The Jungle Book.
Makes sense.
Yeah. My precious. Oh, we came up with a fun game the other day of Thrones. So you know how Disney, now, after, you know, they're like, oh, The Princess and the Frog had the word princess in it. That's why it only made $100 million, not the fact that it's 2D. So basically every movie is one word and, you know, like Tangled, Frozen.
So they think it would have made a bunch of money if it would have just been called Frog?
No, really, because Tangled was called Rapunzel, and they changed the name of it because of the perception they thought was like princess names in movies.
Really?
Anything feminine. Yeah.
Do they think with the princess name that, like, boys would be less likely to go?
That's
to
exactly.
It?
Why do you think they bought Marvel?
Because yeah.
Boys have money, too.
Well, yeah, I realize
and
that.
And they don't cry.
As Hilary Swank taught us.
After she crashed a space shuttle into a drainage ditch. Yeah, if you've never seen The Core, it's a very good, bad movie.
Oh, God. But what if we could?
Oh, I was telling Allison we should have a shitty movie night again sometime.
Yes.
We couldn't think of any movies. Nothing with Vin Diesel, no Babylon AD this time.
Did you ever see Jonah Hex?
No!
See, that one's still sitting out
okay,
there.
Okay, there it is, Jonah
Hex. So that's
Hex.
One of them.
That's gotta
and
be
And there's
bad.
Always the common thread between the two films that we don't know about until we watch them.
I like to watch Red Letter Media, which is a web series in Milwaukee, actually. Hmm. And they always drink Spotted Cow.
Nice.
Anyway, they mentioned that too. They have the Wheel of the Worst where they take these horrible VHS tapes and they randomly watch three of them.
Okay.
And they bring that up too, how there's always a common thread. It's just like some magical thing. Like, you know, oh, there's like, you know, impalements or, you know, goblins. Like some theme always comes up. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I think pretty much every time there was some very odd thing that would be common. It's not like it was the main thrust of the movies or anything. It was discovered along the way.
Like when we watched Flash Gordon and Barbarella, they both had like winged men in them.
Yeah.
And Super Mario Brothers was terrible. That was the worst. Oh my God.
God, can you imagine if we would have watched that and Son of the Mask on the same night? Somebody probably would have committed suicide.
Yeah, there would have been a murder.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Mario almost killed me, and then Letitia almost... I think she wanted to kill us
for
making her watch Son of the Mask.
Yeah, there were repeated pleas to just shut it off, and we refused. So.
Hey, but Jim Carrey's finally making a sequel.
Seriously?
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber 2 comes out.
Oh, well, that one. Yeah. I thought they were making another Mask movie.
No, he's never been in a sequel before.
Really?
Nope.
Huh.
Yeah. It must be nice in Hollywood It's like you can be the Frelly brothers and you can go, how many, 16 like, years without making a hit movie and keep getting work?
Yeah, seems like a good gig.
It's a pretty good deal. Think about it, they've only made 2 hit movies in 20 years.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not bad.
That's like Spike Lee mystifies me too. Like I saw something where he put his house up for sale in New York or whatever the hell townhouse. It's like $25 million. I'm like, how does Spike Lee have that kind of money? Because it's not like his
He was selling it or?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw him when I was in New York. He was standing looking at this monitor. Oh, yeah. I didn't say anything to him. He was there. Hmm. I didn't ask him about his house. I didn't know
it
was for sale.
Well, he is New York, so along with Woody Allen. But I was just like, he's one of those guys where I get how he has money, but like that much money? I mean, that's like Tom Cruise money to like have a $25 million house.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's not like he makes a movie and it makes like shitloads of money. They're always like these kind of small films and stuff. And,
well, Do the Right Thing was quite a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like 89 or something, wasn't it?
Hmm, I don't know. Well, if you're Nicolas Cage, you know, you buy all these mansions and then you have to sell them because you bought too many mansions.
Yeah. And then you have to, like, make everything that's thrown in front of you.
Did we ever watch Bangkok Dangerous?
I don't think we did. Maybe we should throw that in with Jonah Hex.
Oh.
I love Nick Cage.
He makes a lot of bad movies, though.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, what about Season of the Witch?
I watched that. It's fucking terrible.
Oh, okay.
Not the good kind either. Just bad and boring.
He was in Wicker Man as well.
Which was terrible until the final 20 minutes when it's just amazing after that point.
See, here's the thing. It's like, you know, I think there's three types of bad movies. There's bad movies that are so bad they're good. There's bad movies that are just boring, which is most of them. And then there's bad movies that are so bad you want to gouge your eyeballs out. And that's kind of what Mario Brothers was for me, or Alone in the Dark.
Alone in the Dark was one of the just boring ones for me. But, yeah.
And then there's some like The Room, which you dodged a bullet that one night. And The Room, it's more like the idea of it is entertaining rather than it. Because the thing is, unlike most bad movies, it has like several pointless, really badly done sex scenes. Then you have to like, you know, see Tommy Wiseau's wrinkled 50-year-old ass. And who wants to see that? Maybe Mrs. Wiseau? Oh, hi, babe. See, it's more fun to talk about than to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like getting through an experience, you know, like maybe like a war story. And once you've been through it, then you can talk about it fondly. But getting through it, it was rough.
Yes. Can look back on it and be like, I made it through.
It's no Dungeons and Dragons.
Well,
I have that on Blu-ray now.
Nice. Yeah, didn't you say you got the 2-pack?
Oh, yeah, it comes with the sequel, which is, of course, not nearly as good. Which is like boring bad.
Yes. Yeah, that was such a disappointment. I remember how excited we were. I mean,
because Blue Lips was back.
We had tempered expectations, but still, we were like, okay, this is the sequel to like pretty much the greatest shitty movie ever made. But yeah, they could not recapture the magic. No Jeremy Irons with hook hands.
There was like, I don't know, one of those internet critics, like Nostalgia Critic, did an episode on Dungeons and Dragons. And yeah, he was basically like, if you haven't seen this, you have to see it. Yeah, and then he's like showing the face. He starts laughing because he knows that Jeremy Irons is going to come out here in that scene with hook hands.
Oh, it's so glorious.
Your Majesty. Yes, a year after being in the Academy Award winning American Beauty, Thora Birch decided to throw her career away and be in Dungeons and Dragons.
Pretty much. Yeah, she just disappeared. Because, yeah, she was like an American Beauty, and like Ghost World was this independent but really good movie.
But that was with Scarlett Johansson, right?
Yep.
So she went on to do more things.
Yeah,
like 10,000 Marvel movies.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like betrothed to the Marvel Universe, apparently. So
they like keep her chained up in the basement and
bring her out whenever they need her. She's like the Gimp of the Marvel Universe.
Wow. And then she's got to be in every movie. Oh, no, she wasn't in Iron Man 3.
No, but she's in the new Captain America, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was in Iron Man 2. I mean, that was where she was introduced. But
so how much of a train wreck do you think Batman versus Superman is going to be? You like Man of Steel, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it seems like it's going to fall prey to the common superhero problem of, like, oh, let's just throw a whole bunch of shit in one movie, because it's like, not only is Batman going to be in there, but, like, Wonder Woman's going to be in it, too. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're trying to make Avengers, you know, like, Justice League.
They're trying to make it backwards.
They're trying to, like, do it too soon.
Well, you know, Warner, they don't have Harry Potter anymore. You know, they need, yeah. You know, they got to make their bucks. I'm sure they still make plenty of money, but they can make more money.
Yeah, but it sucks because it's like finally they made a Superman movie like that I liked and stuff. But then it's like, oh, we're going to make the sequel. But oh, yeah, guess what? We're going to shove like Batman in it. And no, it's not going to be the Batman you want to see. You know,
it's not the Batman you need. It's the Batman you deserve.
I deserve Ben Affleck Batman. What the hell did I do to Warner Brothers? God damn it. I bought their movies when they come out on Blu-ray, like a good citizen of the world.
Nope, you have to deal with Batfleck. Bennifer 3.0.
And I'm trying to remain open-minded about him, but it's just like...
Oh, I don't have a problem with Ben Affleck. I just think the whole production sounds like it's going to be a mess.
Yeah, it's...
Like, they were going to start shooting in February, but then they pushed back to May because they didn't have a script. Because Jeremy Irons is Alfred in it.
That made me happy, though, when I heard that Irons was going to be Alfred.
He'll be a good Alfred, but he's like, I don't know, I haven't read a script yet. It's like, you haven't read a script for a movie that was supposed to start shooting a month ago.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
But that's the way they do things these days.
Oh, I watched this really interesting documentary. It was about how Rhythm and Hughes died. And it's like, they won the Oscar for Life of Pi, and like 6 days before that, they had declared bankruptcy.
Oh, really?
It was very interesting. They said, well, big problem is because they start shooting movies without scripts. And by the time they get to the visual effects department, they keep changing things to fix the movie because they didn't start with a script. And
so there's like, a lot of waste.
Yeah, they're like, you know, we get like $20 million to make 500 shots, and no matter how many times they change it, we don't get more money. And they said that's like slowly killing the industry. So it was kind of an unfortunate story.
Yeah, I can see that. I suppose if that's like how they negotiate the contract or whatever, you know,
yeah,
that's
like a fixed
this,
bid.
You know, it's like this many shots, this much money. And so they can, if they can dictate what the shots are to the company creating them, then yeah, that's a slippery slope.
And they said, you know, it's different. Like when they're on, when a movie's being filmed, everything's on the clock and it's really expensive and the sun's going down. So it just gets done. But like with special effects, you know, it goes under review, and there's like six layers between them and the director. It's not like the director's on the set, so.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, we had to redo a shot because the rain's going in the wrong direction or something.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was kind of sad. I think they're still kind of around as a shell of a company, but yeah, it's too bad because they were the first company to win. They broke ILM's streak.
Oh, really?
I think it was with Babe when they made the animals talk. Because before then, ILM had won like every year for like 20 years, pretty much in Star Wars.
So it was kind of like Pixar with the animated award for a long time there where they just had a stranglehold on it.
Oh, yeah. Until Frozen got the, oh, Disney finally figured out 3D award.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a perfectly good movie, but you know that's why it won.
And that it made a shit ton of money.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That helped, too.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, I guess we got really off subject, but so the fun thing to do is to go back and think about old Disney movies and if they named them now using their naming convention,
yes,
what they would call them. We were doing that one day and we had like, what do we have for that, Allison? We had like the renamed Disney movies. You remember that?
Yeah, let's see.
So would 101 Dalmatians just be dogs?
Was it Spot or Spotted?
Oh, Spotted, that's right,
because
it has to be the past participle.
Yep. Aladdin could be rubbed. Little Mermaid could be sunken. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, what was Bolt originally called? Because it was called something else.
Oh, it was called American Dog.
Yeah.
Because it started out as a Chris Sanders film.
Yeah.
But then after Disney, like, pissed him off, he left and made How to Train Your Dragon, which, of course, was really good.
Yep.
Bolt was pretty good, too.
Yeah, I actually liked that one. But that's an example of, yeah, one where they changed it to just one word.
Yep. You know, Enchanted.
Yeah.
With your hero, Amy Adams.
Yes.
Who was on The Office.
My hero. Or whatever. Object of my desire.
How many filet of fish do you eat?
That's right.
That's 6 months worth. Still. 6 months worth in his car. Oh, I missed The Office.
Yeah, those were good times.
And Battlestar Galactica is over now, too.
Yeah, that happened a while ago, you know. It's not like it just happened yesterday.
Cloverfield yet?
Oh, jeez.
People are probably wondering, when are they going to get on topic?
Yeah, they're like, didn't Ben say that we were going to start with, like, video games or something?
You guessed wrong, suckers!
Freaking Clover. No, I have not seen Cloverfield yet. I will never see it, just to spite you.
Just like I will never see The Amazing Spider-Man.
And you'll never see the Transformers movie. The animated one.
I've seen it.
Oh, you have? Oh, wait, that's Dale.
Of course I've seen the Transformers animated movie. I had all the toys.
Well, good. That's Dale, then. He's the one that's being
the
difficult.
The Matrix of Leadership.
Megatron, is that you?
Here's a hint.
I'm Orson Welles. They gave me 5 flasks of wine and 3 chickens to do this role.
Bleh.
I will give you a new body, a new troop to command.
Oh, that's a hell of a movie.
Yeah. Orson Welles is also dead.
He got Grimlock kicking butt.
Apparently they're going to bring those dinosaurs back in the new Transformers.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it and they just... Oh, it's gonna look like a bunch of dark shit, like transforming on screen. Like they didn't look cool, like the Dinobots should look. But it does have Mark Wahlberg in it.
Well, of course, it's a movie. It has Mark Wahlberg in it.
Although he's probably not going to be like a sarcastic asshole in it, which is when he's at his best.
Hey, did you see Real Steel?
I did.
It
was a good movie.
Yeah, it was pretty much as good as a robot boxing movie could be.
Yeah, it was a good Rocky clone.
Yeah, with robots. Okay, we want to make a movie. Okay, I'm listening. It's Rocky with robots.
How much do you need?
yeah. Okay, we need a few more Disney titles from the past.
Oh, do we?
Lion King is too many words. That's 2 words.
Is that just pride? Would they call that pride?
No, because Allison's right. It needs like a past participle. Like it needs to be like an action or a state. What happened in that movie? He was like
Jeremy Irons like stirred some shit up.
Oh yeah, he was the bad guy in it.
You could call it Scarred.
Oh, they're good. There. Well, wait. Whoa. But Scar wasn't the main character.
Yeah, Simba.
Simba's not a word.
It is now.
Prider? No.
Proud.
That could work, because he had Brave. Brave was called the Bow and the Bear, and it got turned to Brave.
Really?
Yeah. Because, again, it was too many words. I used to work at a movie theater when I was, like, 19 years old, and people would come in, and nobody knew the name of any movie. The weird thing was people would walk up, and they would look, well, if you're working box office, they would look at the posters and decide what to see, which I thought was... I couldn't believe
that's amazing.
Tons of people did. It was usually people on dates, but a lot of people did it, even like groups of people. Huh. And I'm like, anyway, and they'd always get the name of the movie wrong. And the big one was A Walk in the Clouds. They never knew the name of it.
Did they call it Cloud Walking?
It was everything you could think of. It was like Cloud Walker, Keanu Reeves knocks up some chick. No, wait, no, that wasn't the premise. How do I know the... Maybe I saw it. I don't know. Oh, yeah, it's like Keanu Reeves is like in World War II. He's like, I'm in World War II. And he's on a train and some woman's crying because she's pregnant. Oh, yeah. So he goes home with her and pretends to be her husband so she won't be shamed.
Oh,
and it was called A Walk in the Clouds. I think I may have seen it. Anyway, but yeah, nobody called it by the right name. Not a single ticket buyer.
Yes, Ultimate Date Movie.
That was before The Notebook, you know, so they had to go see something. I think that was the same year Smelia's Sense of Snow came out.
I haven't even heard of that.
Do you remember when Julia Ormond was a thing?
Yeah, for like 5 minutes.
Oh, but she was in Mad Men.
Yes, she was. That was cool when she showed up.
Anyway, I've got to think of one more Disney movie.
Let's see. Let me think of a movie. Beauty and the Beast. What would Beauty and the Beast be?
Beasted? I don't think that's a word.
Kidnapped.
Beast. That's really generic. Allison just suggested changed. What about... Oh, no. Cursed could be good.
There you go.
Okay, I got a tough one for you. What about Great Mouse Detective? What could that have been called?
Mystery.
Oh, there you go. Solved. Wow, these titles are really dumb. Okay, let's move on to VR technology. So a couple years ago, the Oculus Rift took the world by storm.
Did it?
I guess. And so Paul Merlecki duct taped some stuff together and made this demonstration unit. And we got a lot of people excited about it. And John Carmack was one of the early kind of cheerleaders of it. And then they did a Kickstarter and, you know, made a lot of money. And they've been, you know, working on it ever since. And they're going to have a consumer version coming out at some point. Anyway, quite a few companies are making their own version. Like Sony just announced one.
Yeah.
Microsoft is rumored to be working on one. Valve was working on one as well. Although I think they've also been working with Oculus. So I guess the point is, do we need 10 different types of VR headsets?
We don't, but those companies do.
Right, but shouldn't the companies be thinking about what's good for the consumer?
Apparently not.
Now, wasn't Microsoft... Microsoft was HD DVD back during that brief war.
Yes, yep. I think that was just mainly because they didn't want to give Sony a cut of their systems, which they ended up having to do anyways, so...
Well, Microsoft gets a cut from every Android phone, so, yeah. You know, karma's a bitch.
Goes around, yeah.
Oh, I saw something, what was it? It was someone talking about Windows Phone, because, you know, there's people, like, calling for the heads of Windows Phone and Surface and Xbox.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and anyway, they're like, Microsoft makes, God, they said, like, $2 billion a year off Android because of the patents they found in it or whatever, and so they're like, you know, why not just do that? Why not just sit back and take that money? But, anyway, so VR, I guess it's kind of one of those things like, sometimes, like, I don't want to say a monopoly, but a really unified standard is nice. Like with the Veronica Mars Kickstarter. You know, obviously, you know, Warner Brothers owns Flickster and blah, blah, blah. There's a big rabbit hole with all that. But, you know, it is nice when things like, you know, oh, Steam, Netflix, you know, like a few simple things that just work.
Yeah.
But then, you know, when there's fragmentation, like with Origin, and I don't have anything against Origin. It's just one more stupid thing to have on my computer.
Yep. One more thing to have running.
So you're all up in Veronica Mars's grill.
Yep.
So how did you watch it?
I watched it using Ultraviolet on my Cinema Now app on my PS3, and it worked just fine. But yeah, that's like one of the few
Maybe
threads.
Maybe explain the controversy.
Yeah, so the whole thing with it was, as part of the Kickstarter deal, which I backed, it's the only Kickstarter I've ever backed, actually, was that if you pledged at certain levels, like I think $35 was the lowest level you could pledge at to get a digital download when the movie came out. And the promise was, you know, within a few days of the movie being released in theaters, you'll get this digital download. Which they certainly delivered on. And right up front, like day one on the Kickstarter, it said that Flickster will be the method that this is distributed through, and they're like, we're looking into potentially adding others. But the only thing that was ever committed to was Flickster. And so of course people start getting the Flickster codes, and of course it's a bunch of, you know, people that are just chained and locked into the Apple ecosystem that are bitching and moaning about it. Because they just assumed they were going to get an iTunes code. And I was like...
Well, iTunes is a very popular, like, ubiquitous service. I mean...
It is popular, but at the same time, it's like, it doesn't work on nearly as many devices as Ultraviolet does.
Hmm.
Like, think about it. Let's say I got...
What is Ultraviolet, besides a shitty Mila Jovovich movie?
Oh, God, yeah, that was not good. Ultraviolet, and I'll admit, the Ultraviolet thing, this is a good example of kind of what we're talking about. It ties into this nicely. Ultraviolet is this ecosystem, essentially, that a bunch of the studios have bought into. So, like, Warner Brothers, Sony, Paramount, whatever. They're all on board with Ultraviolet for digital copies of their movies being distributed. And you'll see them often being attached to Blu-rays you buy at the store. But the area where it does fall down that I'll agree with is that, of course, all these retailers want to get their cut. So, like, Walmart, Best Buy... whoever, they all want to be able to sell digital copies of movies and yada, yada, yada.
So this is a digital copy that comes with the physical disc you get?
It'll come with a Blu-ray. I mean, you can just go and buy them. you know, like, because Vudu is an app, which that's actually Walmart's app for digital movie distribution, but behind the scenes, it's really an ultraviolet copy that you're buying and unlocking.
Oh, so it's just like a shell.
And then Cinema Now is Best Buy's, Flixster is actually Warner Brothers, so on and so forth. So this is where it gets ugly, is instead of them just being like, here's an ultraviolet app that you have, and you access all your movies through it, it basically got fragmented because, like, Walmart wants their
thing.
Yeah, because behind the scenes, you have an ultraviolet account, and then you go down a layer, and then that's where you have, like, a Vudu account or a Cinema Now account.
That's pretty lame. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's stupid the way
I don't even like having an Amazon and Netflix account, because I never use Amazon movies because I don't care.
Yeah.
Also, there's really nothing on there.
Yes, which I try to find things on Amazon to watch that aren't on Netflix, and it's basically impossible. But I mean, that's where I'll agree. The way Ultraviolet's been implemented is poor. It's like they should have, like, I remember when I got that iPad and all that, I'm like looking for an Ultraviolet app, and I'm like, there's no goddamn Ultraviolet app. And so then I had to go and do some research, and I'm like, oh, okay, actually it all links back into it through this. And, you know, through Vudu, whatever, all these things. So I can see where it's not an easy thing, you know, like iTunes is just like, I create an iTunes account, I go out there, biff, bam, boom, I'm good to go. But at the same time, if you're an Apple person hooked into their ecosystem, you got an Apple TV and all that stuff, then yeah, I can see where you would have loved to have gotten an iTunes code, because it's like, yeah, I can just stream this shit right to my TV.
See, it was easy for you because you don't have very much Apple stuff, but for an Apple user, you need to feel their story.
Well, see, the thing is, though,
you need to paint with all the colors of the wind.
The thing is, for all of the talk about Apple, like, their market share isn't that huge in the grand scheme of things.
For distributing movies?
For just, you know, like, devices that are out there. They're still, like, small fish. You know, you look at even, like, in the mobile space, it's like Android has the lion's share of the market. And iOS devices are like 12%.
Okay, so what if you were some sort of weirdo who wanted to watch Veronica Mars on your Android tablet?
I would assume that there's like a Vudu app for it or Flixster app. I don't know for sure. I don't have Android in any form. But like for your iPad and everything else, there's Flixster apps, there's Vudu apps and all that. But of course, yeah, if you wanted to watch it on your TV, then you're in a tougher spot because I'm not 100% sure how Apple TV works, but I assume
I think
Apple...
it's basically like a iPad hooked up to your TV. Like, you can watch all the same things, but you still have to, like, buy shows and whatnot.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if they restrict you from being able to, like, let's say you got a Vudu app, like, if you can stream that onto your Apple TV or not, or if they lock that down because they want
you. Netflix. So if those apps exist, they probably work.
Yep. And so if that's the case, I mean, this is where it gets back to, it's like, you know, in a perfect world, yes, they would have said, here, we'll give you the digital download for whatever the hell you damn well please. But the reality is that's difficult to achieve. And so they chose, I mean, obviously Flixster was chosen because Warner Brothers owns Flixster. You know, that's their choice. But at the end of the day, Flixster doesn't really mean anything, and this is where it got confusing, and understandably so, but it's like, when you go and unlock that thing through Flixster, it's actually behind the scenes getting unlocked on your Ultraviolet account, which means...
So why not just have Ultraviolet?
Which means, that's what I'm saying, that's where they did a poor implementation, but it's because all these goddamn different companies like Walmart, Best Buy, whoever, they all want to get their cut of the digital copy space.
Oh.
And so they all have to have their own app so that they can sell digital copies.
But in the end, that's going to hurt them because
yeah.
It's like, I'll just use Amazon. I'll just use iTunes.
Yep. But yeah, I agree. They should have just had an Ultraviolet app. And really, what they should have done is just had an Ultraviolet app. All these companies could sell
like
Ultraviolet copies.
Like, wants a bite of the VR space.
There you go. But it's like, everybody could have just bought Ultraviolet copies, and all these studios could, or all these companies could have got their cut out of that pie, you know. But
was it good?
It was pretty good. It wasn't like amazing.
The Veronica Mars movie. That's what I
yes, yeah. I figured that was what you were asking about. So
I figured you knew. I didn't know if the audience knew. Whoever listens to this,
who knows at this point.
This podcast, which is available on iTunes, subscribe now.
But yeah, it was a good flick. It was definitely one where, you know, I think anybody who enjoyed the show, I mean, it was obviously made for them. That was, like, the biggest complaint I saw in reviews from people is that it seemed like fan service, and it's like, well, if that's the worst thing that you can level against that movie, that's a pretty good thing, because it's like, guess what? The fans made it possible, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, it was enjoyable, and it definitely fits into that universe, and be interesting to see what happens as a result of it. You know, if they decide to make more movies, or maybe even bring the TV show back in some form. There's been talk of that as well, so could be pretty cool.
No, Kristen Bell wants to make When in Rome 2.
Oh, God.
The Romaning.
But yeah, the whole ultraviolet thing, though, it's a good example of kind of like this VR thing, like you're saying. It's like, you know, like ultraviolet. Why don't you just have a VR thing that everything can use? Instead, they want to be like, well, here we've got maybe this standard, but then everybody's going to go and make like their own thing or whatever, you know?
Yeah, everybody wants a piece of the pie, and there's not going to be enough pie left over. And nobody's going to know where the pie is or what flavor it is.
And my biggest thing with VR, I'm very lukewarm on VR. I guess I haven't actually tried any of these things. You know,
Did you try the Oculus Rift that we had here?
No, I haven't tried it.
We could see if you can get through Alone in the Rift. Nobody has made it to the end. Scary ghost girl will get ya.
Oh, shit.
She'll get ya good.
But I just... You know, there's certain applications where I think it could be cool, but it's like, you know, I don't have a problem with sitting on my couch and looking at a screen and playing a game.
You know, people back in the 1800s probably said, I don't have a problem with riding a horse.
And they didn't.
But then Henry Ford said, if I were to listen to my customers, I would have built a faster horse.
Yep. And it's true, you know, and maybe VR will come out. Maybe it'll be like how Gravity was for 3D, where when I saw Gravity, I was like, okay, that's a movie, finally, you know, where it's like 3D enhanced the experience of watching it, where all these other things where it was basically like, oh, it's just there to be a tax.
Well, I think in Gravity, Gravity was a movie about like spatial relationships and, you know, movement and flight. So it actually fit the 3D format, whereas the VR... In not just taking a game and pasting it into VR, but actually making the game require VR, making VR part of the game narrative and making that, you know,
that
part of the story. I think that's what will make it really click. Like, I think like something like Myst in VR.
That would be cool.
Would be really cool. And I think like
a space simulator type thing would be cool.
Too. Oh, yeah, like that game Parker and I were talking about making that we'll never have the time to make. Parker, Dillman, and I had this idea to make basically a Star Fox ripoff using the Oculus Rift. Like, you're in a cockpit. Yeah. And because I played EVR at E3 last year, and that was the dogfighting part of EVE on the Oculus Rift. Excuse me. And that it really works well, because if you think about it, if you're like in a FPS, you're a soldier running around, you can't really run around.
Yes.
People exactly. make treadmills for that, but who wants to do that? But a fighting, like a dogfighting game, a cockpit of a ship or a plane, you're sitting in it, you know, and so it already simulates what you're doing using Oculus Rift, and being able to look around like, oh, I can look and see what's to the left and right of me, that's using the technology as part of the game experience. So like, you can do everything that a pilot could do. So I think a game like that would be really cool.
See, that's one where like driving games would be a really cool application of it. Like if you had a steering wheel set up and all that with the pedals.
Oh, track the hands, you could see them in the game.
Yeah, and then you had the VR helmet, so like you could actually look to your left, you know, and see if somebody's alongside you or whatever. Like that would be cool. Yeah, I totally agree with that, you know, but it's like, yeah, taking something like, I don't know, Super Mario Brothers or something and trying to like VR it, it'd be dumb, you know, but, and not just because it's a Nintendo game or anything. I mean, there's plenty of other things like
someone
that.
Someone modded Skyrim for the Oculus Rift, and like, after you're done playing, you'd pull the Oculus Rift off and you realize it was like 50 years in the future. And you'd be like, old.
50 years.
I'm not
old.
Sure exactly how you lived, you know, without any food.
Yeah, that'd be kind of hard.
Maybe you were hooked up to an IV. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's beside the point.
Yeah, one of my biggest things with it is it's kind of like 3D television at home. You know, it's like when I...
Well, that trend's already dead.
But it's like when I come home, you know, it's like, do I really want to sit there and have to put on, like, glasses, you know, to, like, watch this movie and, like, this? You know, it's like, do I want to put some sort of rig or goggles on or whatever to play this game, you know, because I mean, I agree it would help with immersion, but like one big thing nowadays too is I think people like multitask so much when they're doing shit. You know, it's like you've got like, I don't know, your tablet sitting here or you're flicking between screens.
Yeah, they even
monitor.
Use a tablet to augment games. Like, oh, it's the battle screen on your tablet or your second screen experience for Gotham Dark Knight or whatever game they're on.
They did that on Assassin's Creed 4. That was actually pretty handy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I used the app on the iPad because, like, what it would do is it would show, like, the map on it. You could have it.
Oh, yeah?
And so you could just have that.
Waypoints and stuff?
Yeah, so I could just have the map, like, sitting there, and so then I didn't even have to use the one on the game itself, and so I could just be glancing at that. And there were, like, different things you could do on it, too, but that was what I used it for the most. And, you know, stuff like that's kind of neat, but... But it's like, you know, you're playing a game and then you're like, oh, I want to check, like, my email quick or, you know, whatever. And it's like, oh, you know, you've got this thing on.
Or go to the bathroom or drink a beer or...
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I don't know. But, yeah, for certain applications, I think it could be cool. But I wonder what they're going to charge for this sort of stuff, too, you know.
Well, the Sony one will be way too expensive and proprietary. It'll, like, only work with the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Another thing, you know... You know, PlayStation 4 or the Xbox One, but the PlayStation 4, you know, for what it is, I don't even know if it could really even do that great of 3D.
Yeah, like if it has the resources
the horsepower,
to be able to
because you got
to
think, yeah, like if you want to have smooth motion that doesn't make people sick, not only well, if you think about like the refresh rate, the view has to change as fast as you can look around.
Yeah,
so you're probably talking at least 60 frames a second. And, you know, there's a lot of games, you know, they have, like, Resolution Wars, all these fanboys. God, it's almost like the Super Nintendo days, like PS4 people and Xbox people.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, a game is lucky, even on the PlayStation 4, which is more powerful, a game is lucky if it runs at 60 frames a second.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so if you have to render two views at that, you know, and then at that same resolution, I don't know if the system could really do it.
Yeah,
because even, like Killzone, it's got some weird trick. It has, like... horizontal interlacing.
Okay.
Like a television would have vertical interlacing.
Mm-hmm.
And what that meant was there wasn't enough bandwidth in television broadcast to send a full frame. So what they would do is instead of sending a full frame 60 times a second, they would send two interlaced frames 30 times a second. So you'd have every other row or the even row, well, the odd rows,
yeah.
It would send that and then it would send the even rows. So one of these was always 1/30th of a second ahead of the other one. But it formed, like, a complete picture. Yeah. And I guess, like, Killzone does that, but horizontally?
Really?
Probably so that you see
when
less
you're
tearing.
Going
because you're usually,
like this.
Yeah,
yeah,
you're usually
you're
looking
left
and right.
Right
in a...
That makes sense, yeah.
So even, like, you know, their flagship FPS, you know, had to kind of, like, cook the books a little to get, like, a high frame rate.
Yeah.
So, oh, first of all, the new consoles will not last 8 years, let alone 10. Like, whatever they say, pff, no way. So, I'm just saying, I don't know if there's even enough horsepower, like, to do that.
Yeah, would they, I don't know. I was trying to think, would they somehow try to augment it with the headset itself? Like, give it some sort of hardware to supplement it, potentially?
Oh,
kind of like how, like, wasn't it like with the Kinect, didn't Microsoft try to have that handle some of
yeah,
the processing?
I don't know what you'd even put in it. I mean, it has motion tracking and whatnot. I mean, I'm just talking about rendering frames.
Yeah,
although
true,
if you have something like what the Oculus Rift does, is it's one screen, and the image, there's two images on the screen, so the horizontal resolution is actually half of what it would be, so... If you have like a 1920 by 1080 screen in there, the horizontal resolution is, what is half of 920? Like?
So it's like 960 by
1040
or something.
Well, no, the vertical resolution would
still
be
the same. That
stays
the same.
It's
just
two screens left. Like if you picture this screen cut in half.
Okay.
So these left and right, it merges into the image, which means you'd have less resolution horizontally, but you'd have the same resolution vertically.
Okay.
So maybe, I guess if it was rendering two views at full res, it could do it. Still, it's kind of a stretch, so... I mean, sure, Sony will figure out a way to make it work.
Yeah, you had a good little thing you just touched on in there or whatever with, like, how they have to maintain that rate to keep people from getting sick and stuff. And that's one thing that's one thing I wonder about with this, too.
Cause the PC can do it at sleep.
Yeah, but it's like I do get, like, me personally, I get motion sickness from certain things. And so I kind of wonder if I would even be able to, you know, do something like this or
well,
not.
The thing is, basically, the latency has to be so low that the screen moves as your head moves.
Yeah, it would basically be like just seeing reality is essentially what it has
to be. Yeah, and even the dev unit, I mean, it works really, really well. But yeah, but if it lagged behind at all, it would basically, it would be like you were drunk or like the, you know, the different motions, like when you're in a car or a boat. So
yeah.
If you were susceptible to that sort of, like you are, it would affect you very quickly.
Yeah.
If there was any latency or lag.
So there we go. I can be your QA testers, Sony and Oculus.
And Microsoft and Valve.
And everybody else.
And Samsung will probably make one too, why not?
Yeah, shit. Hook it up to your phone or something.
Yeah. So, I guess, I think VR is cool. I don't know if we need, like, that many companies making it.
Yeah.
And Oculus basically invented it. So, it's kind of, I don't know, like these billion-dollar companies and Sony are aping it. It kind of sucks because, you know, they could throw as much money as they want. Well, Microsoft can throw as much money at it as they want. And, you know, like Oculus had started it all, you know, they've got to compete with that. But I think there's, you know, they're far enough ahead and they're pretty well entrenched. They should be fine, so.
So are they going to make, there was talk at one time of that potentially being able to work with the PS4. Is that still
a
possibility?
Well, that'll never happen now.
Yeah, I suppose now that Sony's doing their thing, so it's going to be like its own standalone thing and games will have to be made to be compatible with it, like on the PC.
And it'll be proprietary because it's a Sony product. It's like in Hollywood. It's like, hey, I've got a good idea for a movie. What if Die Hard in the White House? Here's my script. I want $500,000. No thanks. Bye. Okay. Get this guy in here.
Yeah.
Let's have this guy write a script for a Die Hard in the White House movie. We'll pay him $300,000.
Yep. And then the first guy who goes to another studio and it gets made. And then there end up being two of those movies.
So. You got to think that's probably why that happens.
Probably.
It happens. There's like two Hercules movies this year. Yeah. There's a second Steve Jobs movie being done.
Yeah, I saw that, and it's like Fincher's potentially.
Yeah, like Alan Sorkin. It's like definitely it's top flight talent, but like, oh my God.
Yeah, I was like.
Give Wozniak a movie, or Tesla, or Edison, or plenty of other people who are also really important, probably more important than Steve Jobs.
The only good thing I heard about that is that, like, Fincher basically told, like, I don't know, who is it, Sony or who the hell's making
Christian
it?
Christian Bale, right?
Yeah, he said that the only way he'll make it is if Bale plays Jobs.
I could see Christian Bale as Steve Jobs. And he'll actually be Fat Jobs, too.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, you know, ungainly for American Hustle.
I just hope Bale says, I don't want to fucking do that movie, because it'll be like, oh, good, Fincher will go do something I actually want to see, and Bale will go do something that I actually want to see. I mean, if they both make that movie, I would see it just because of the talent involved and that I like their work, but the subject matter would not interest me. Although Fincher did make a Facebook movie that was quite good, so maybe he could make something.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's a good point. That kind of makes sense now. But it's like, do we really need, how many biopics about, like, rich asshole billionaires do we need?
Yeah, it's like, where's the Bill Gates one then? I guess he's still alive, though, so that's.
Oh, well, Mark Zuckerberg's still alive.
Oh, that's true, yeah, so.
Ha-ha!
But see, Gates is off, you know, like, trying to, like, do good in the world.
Oh,
so I
you
guess
mean,
that
like, actually being, like
a
cool
philanthropist?
Guy. Yeah. It's like, oh, I didn't do drugs for 20 years, and I'm still alive at age 60, so I can do things with my money? Oh, wow, that was, wow.
So, he's, like, actually,
Steve Jobs' liver failed. I mean, come on. I mean, somehow he got a new liver. Jesus Christ, how did he get a new liver?
Money.
Just like how Magic Johnson cured his AIDS.
Yes, but yeah, Gates, I guess Gates just isn't that interesting because, you know, he's like, I don't know, doing good with his money or something, and that doesn't make
sense. Yeah, isn't he trying to stop malaria or something? Oh yeah, that's where we came up with the idea for our movie idea, Suck. Because you were like, hey, Bill Gates is trying to stop malaria by genetically engineering mosquitoes, and I'm like, what if they turn evil? And of course,
it's a movie!
It's going to star a terrifying creature, a mosquito the size of an atom. Okay, so I think we should move on to our next topic. So VR helmets, they are cool, but how many do we really need? Okay. Oh yeah, you wanted to talk about Oscar comedy snubs or something, or acting snubs?
Yeah, just kind of, I mean, not to belabor the Oscar thing or anything, but it was like the other day, like American Hustle came out on video, and I really liked that movie when it was in theaters, so I picked it up and watched it again, and I was just watching it, and I remembered how funny that movie was, and a lot of the performances were, you know, really good comedic performances, and like Christian Bale's in particular, like he just keeps like getting shit on constantly in the movie, but he plays it like really restrained, but there's just so many funny moments. And, you know, of course he didn't win the Oscar or anything, but it got me thinking about how whenever you hear actors talk about their craft or whatever and stuff, you know, they'll usually, if it comes up in the conversation, they'll usually make the comment that comedy is much harder than drama. But yet, comedy never seems to get acknowledged at awards season time.
Has anyone ever gotten an acting award for comedy? Or
the last one I can think of was Marissa Tomei won Best Supporting Actress for My Cousin Vinny, and that was, what, 93, 94, back in that area?
Oh, wait, I was supposed to know. That was 92.
92, so it would have been the 93 Oscars then.
Yep, yep.
So, but yeah, she's like the last one that I can think of, and I remember not this year's Oscars, but last year's, it was like amazing when Melissa McCarthy actually got nominated for Bridesmaids, because she did get nominated, which was great because she is hilarious in that movie, and it was like amazing just that a comedy performance got nominated, you know, let alone even winning. And it's kind of like how the Oscars have like the stupid animated film Oscar now,
yeah,
you know, basically saying like, oh, animated films aren't good enough to be nominated for Best
Picture. Or they belong in a different part of the boat.
Yeah. Because it's like, what is it? Beauty and the Beast was the last one that was actually up for the...
I think it was the only time that ever happened.
Was it? I can't remember if any of the really old ones were up or not, but yeah, it might have been the only one. But it's like, you know, it never happened again, and so then they made the animated category. And
although I think Hunchback of Notre Dame is a better movie. I watched that a couple weeks ago. It's secretly, I think it's secretly one of the best Disney movies. Because Beauty and the Beast, it has some story issues. They patched over pretty well, but you can tell there were some changes. But Hunchback is completely solid.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's off topic.
That's okay. Yeah. But it's just, it's kind of like, I think part of the reason why is people that are into movies, they kind of enjoy the Golden Globes a bit more, because the Golden Globes are a bit more lighthearted, they're a bit more fun, and they actually break the categories up a bit more. Like, they actually have a comedy musical category, and then they have like the drama category for films.
But okay, why is a comedy a musical? I mean, you could go another step further and say, oh, so musicals aren't real movies?
And it's like, where are the action movies? You know, why?
Well, Chicago was a musical, and it was also very funny, and it won Best Picture.
Yep, it's true. But Renee Zellweger did not win.
Yeah, so we talked about this in the last episode. We can't beat a dead horse.
I know, but. But yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, the Oscars, the Academy, they're a bit more, I think one of the big things the Academy always tries to do is they try to make like political statements, or they try to like make themselves feel good, like they're progressive or something with some of their choices. And, you know, and that kind of comes through in the voting sometimes. And,
oh, like Crash.
Or... Yeah. You know, stuff like that. And, so yeah, it's just unfortunate because it's like, you know, you go and you look at the Oscars this year, and it's like, okay, just on the basic merits, it's like, okay, Christian Bale's playing like a con artist in this period film, like in the 70s, scamming people and,
so
you know,
period
going
film,
through
that's
this stuff,
a plus for getting
which
an
is
Oscar.
A plus. But he's a con man. But then, yeah,
Matthew McConaughey was period film, but he was dying of AIDS.
Yes, of AIDS. Yeah.
And he couldn't get medical treatment in America.
Yep.
So that's political as well. And then.
And extreme weight loss.
Extreme weight loss or gain. Usually loss.
Yep.
Unless you're Renee Zellweger. And then you can like go, woo, you can do whatever you want. She could be like in the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, there you go. She could be, what's his name? So.
The stretchy guy.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, but she's a woman. Damn, that's not going to work.
She'll just turn invisible, I guess.
Jerry Maguire.
But yeah, so I don't know. But yeah, it's like, it's sad because you can just look at that and be like, okay. And I haven't seen Dallas Buyers Club. Maybe McConaughey.
That's okay. Nobody did.
Maybe McConaughey is just amazing in it. He could be.
But you can like,
but you don't even need to watch
what they're going to give the award.
Yeah,
to.
Like you would have never had to watch any of those movies. You could have just had that description for each one, and you would have been able to say, okay, yep, McConaughey is going to win that.
Well, like Moulin Rouge, Nicole Kidman played a prostitute who had tuberculosis who died.
Yeah, and it's like, how did she not win?
Yeah, that was everything to win. But again, it was because I think we're kind of.
Yeah, we're kind of going in that same.
This is like the Oscar podcast.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's just like the comedy thing. And I was trying to think like the last comedy film. It was probably Annie Hall that won. Because that beat Star Wars, of course.
Yeah, like Star Wars would have ever won. That's a weird thing about like back then, big blockbuster movies would get nominated for Best Picture. Star Wars was nominated. Yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark, E.T., I don't know about Empire Strikes Back, but that would never, like, Avengers would never get nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, just won't happen.
Well, the thing is, you know, Avengers is not as good as those movies either.
Damn straight.
Oh, speaking of that, would they just let Ghostbusters 3 die?
Oh.
It's like, my God, they couldn't make a good movie in 5 years. They sure as shit aren't going to make a good one in 26 years.
Well, and Harold Ramis died. It's like, let the movie go. You know, it's like,
yeah,
Egon's not here anymore. Just let it be.
But it's a safe bet. And Sony needs the money.
And the thing is,
you know what it'll be like? It'll be like Anna Faris, Craig T. Robinson, that tall guy
Seth
from How I Met Your Mother.
See, a few years ago, Seth Rogen would have been in it. Because remember, we talked about this years ago, because the plot should have been that basically, like, the Ghostbusters dudes are dead, and they're ghosts.
Yes!
And then they're helping, like, this new crew of Ghostbusters, like, you know, deal with some menace.
So here's how you make a Ghostbusters 3 trailer. Like, people are in the movie theater, like, watching a movie, and there's, like, 15 trailers in front of it. Oh, I hate that shit. We're like, there's two... Movie trailers are too long. 2.5 minutes is not a low enough limit. It used to be higher, but Forrest Gump trailer actually caused it to go lower, because that trailer was fucking long as shit. So then they're like, okay, movie trailers are only 2.5 minutes long. But it's just like eating low-fat cookies. It's like, okay, so... If we can only, we can show 7 2.5-minute trailers. If they reduce the length of trailers to 2 minutes, then they'll show 9 2-minute trailers. It'll never fix it.
So you're still screwed.
No, anyway, so you're in the theater, and then you see all this, everything green, and it's like one of these ghost hunting shows on television, yeah, right? It's like, we're in the hospital. Did you see that? You know, like have a go for like 30 seconds or whatever, and then all of a sudden like, and they pan over and it's like the Ghostbusters come running in, still in night vision, and they activate their like, you know, proton packs, all like first person, like Cloverfield.
Your favorite movie.
So basically, it's like the Ghostbusters barge in on one of these ghost hunting TV shows, catch the ghost, and then like, bum, 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 and the music kicks in. Ghostbusters 3. There. That's more thought than they'll actually put into the movie when they make it.
Yeah,
Ghostbusters was lightning in a bottle. That'll never happen again.
Yeah, it's like, and they got their second taste at it when they made Men in Black, basically.
Yes. Although Men in Black 3 was surprisingly...
I've heard that. Like, you and Dale, I think, both said it was good.
It was a lot better than you did. It was pretty good.
Because 2 was atrocious. So.
2 was, like, bad in the same way that Ghostbusters 2 was bad. It was basically the same movie done again.
Yeah, just very poorly.
Yeah.
So.
So I watched Ghostbusters 2 on Netflix with the Red Letter Media. If you've never been to redlettermedia.com, you should. They're a great movie review site. Anyway, they did a commentary track for Ghostbusters 2, and I was like programming or something as usual. And I'm like, oh, I can run their commentary in this window and run Netflix Ghostbusters 2 in this window. And they commented, and I'm like, and I hadn't watched the movie in like 5 years. And I'm like, oh my God, this movie's... Blade Runner, Ghostbusters 2, Batman Returns. I watch every few years trying to like, and I just cannot. So I'm giving up on Ghostbusters 2. It's terrible.
Yeah, I've given up on pretty much all of them now, I think.
What, have you ever watched like one of the recut versions of Blade Runner? I've never seen those.
I think I've only ever seen the one that was on the initial DVD that came out, whichever version that is. I can't remember if it's the one that's got the narration or not. I don't really care.
I just cannot get into a movie where Harrison Ford spends 10 minutes dictating a computer to pan around a photograph. Who wants to see that?
Zoom in on section 9A. Enhance that.
Yeah, I remember when I first saw that movie, I'm like, oh yeah, this is good, you know, it's interesting. And then I remember I watched it a second time and I was kind of like, eh, this is kind of a tough sit. And then I don't know if I ever watched it again after that. I think I might have just said, you know what, pulling the plug right now. Because, I don't know, there's certain movies where when I watch them again, I like them less. Like Matrix is like that too. And it's just...
I haven't watched that movie in a long leave it be. Time.
You know what's crazy? That movie's 15 years old now.
Yeah, it is. I'm surprised the Wachowski siblings haven't crawled back to that franchise yet.
They're making that Jupiter Rising or whatever, Ascending.
Nobody will go to it.
But it's like...
I thought Cloud Atlas was really interesting. I don't know what the hell it was about, but I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, it was ambitious as hell. I'll give it that. And that's why I'm curious about Jupiter Ascending, because it's like... It just sounds like freaking batshit. It's like, how did they convince anybody to give them the money to make this?
You remember we watched Speed Racer for Shitty Movie Night, but it actually turned out to be a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I mean, it was fast-paced, it was fun, it was colorful.
Yeah.
It was better than Matrix Revolutions.
And you had John Goodman, like, kicking ninja ass in that one scene.
Oh, yeah! If you want to see John Goodman fight ninjas, watch Speed Racer.
And then watch Coyote Ugly for some reason. Because he's in it, too.
Oh, that's right. He's the girl's dad.
Yep.
Why did you have to bring up Coyote Ugly?
I don't know.
Which came out in the year 2000.
Wasn't it like you and Mike and Kalish would always talk about that movie or some nonsense? It used to come up all the time.
Why?
I don't know. I've never seen the whole thing.
It's so dumb.
I've seen the end sequence when they're at that stupid bar, and then John Goodman gets drunk and he's dancing on the table.
Yeah, because it's like, I wonder if John Goodman will like dance on the table in this movie. Or, Leanne Rimes shows up for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she sings the hit song, Can't Fight the Moonlight, from the Coyote Ugly. If you're wondering what Coyote Ugly means, it's like if you go home with a guy and he's so ugly... And you got to chew your own arm off to get away from him without waking him up. That's Coyote Ugly.
Oh,
they explain
okay.
that in the movie.
Well, that's good to know.
So the premise of Coyote Ugly is like it's like one of those PG-13 strip clubs, and Maria Bello is like the woman or whatever who owns the place because she's like over 30, so she's got to be the owner.
Well, of course.
And then they pour water on each other and stuff, and
Piper Perabo.
Yep, she's like
got
the hero.
5 minutes of fame.
Hey, she was in The Prestige.
She was.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic movie.
The thing that really pissed me off in Coyote Ugly... there's two scenes that really pissed me off.
I just love the fact that you can be pissed off by something that happened.
I still remember it after like 10 years. These guys... So the place is filled with bros. And they walk up to the Coyote Ugly girls and they order beer.
Well, of course, they just say, give me a
beer.
Right?
Yeah.
That's one of my pet peeves in movies.
And then they try to, like, fondle the girl or touch her or something, and, like, one of the other girls dumps ice on them, and then the guy thinks it's funny. It's like, no, if that happened to a drunk guy, he would start a fight.
Yeah.
He wouldn't think it was funny.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just like a Michael Bay strip club. Like, clearly I've never been to a real strip club, whoever does this production design. Or it's like a 13-year-old boy's... idea of a strip club.
Yep.
There you go. I bet you didn't think we'd talk about Coyote Ugly. You were wrong.
For better or worse.
What was our other topic? Oh, Titanfall.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you have to talk about Titanfall.
Yeah.
Which you've apparently played.
So I thought it'd be cool if they made a game called Kittenfall, where there's like kitten mechs that fall out of the sky. So that's why it's called Titanfall, because the Titans fall out of the sky.
What about Skyfall?
Oh, yeah. What's with everything falling?
And Sky Mall.
Why did Skyfall make so much money?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still mystified.
I mean, it was a good movie, but...
Yeah, but shit.
It was certainly not the best Bond movie. It wasn't as good as Casino Royale.
Shit, no.
It's basically a Bond movie, and then it's Home Alone at the end.
Mm-hmm.
With machine guns. Like the end, it ends like Home Alone with machine guns. Oh, you've got me!
All right, yeah, here you go. You have $175 million.
But they rebooted it. But Judy Dench is still there. But now she's dead. Spoiler warning. I don't care.
So is Titanfall good or is it Titanfall? All I could think about with that game was, I'm like, I bet you there's like all these keyboard commando critics out there just hoping it's a shitty game so that they could call it Titanfall in their review.
I haven't played... I don't know how many hours I've played it. I think I've played it like 3 times because I went through the Parker and I went through the campaign. The campaign is actually just like a series of multiplayer maps with like a story attached to it, which I didn't give a shit about.
Yeah, because it's completely a multiplayer, right? Like the whole thing is.
Which I actually think is admirable. People are like, oh my god, it's a room for $60. They don't realize there are a lot of people out there that do not even touch the single player.
Well, it's like Battlefield 4. It's like, why do they even bother putting a campaign?
I mean, that's like millions of dollars flushed down the toilet that no one, well, not no one, but that's, you see them like, oh, you have to complete the campaign and get this gun or get this unlock. Mm-hmm. They do that because they know there's a lot of people that aren't even playing it.
Yeah.
So I think it's something to be said, like, just ditch it. Like, a game that's meant to be multiplayer, who cares? Like, Call of Duty, why bother?
Yeah.
I mean, the stories don't make any goddamn sense. Who cares? Like, South Africa attacks America or whatever it was. South America attacks America. I don't know. I didn't play it. I mean, there's a Call of Duty dog in it, at least.
And they go into space, too, I guess.
Oh, yeah, there's like a gunfight in space.
I saw that shit on the box. It almost made me want to buy it.
There's like people with machine guns in space. Yeah. Why would there be machine guns in space? Anyway, so Titanfall. So the backstory with Titanfall is the two heads of Infinity War, whatever their names are, right after Modern Warfare 2 shipped, they got canned for reasons that no one knows. And there are rumors that they were talking to EA about switching sides.
Yeah.
Switching sides there. I used a Call of Duty term. And Activision got word and canned them. Or, well, nobody knows why, but there was a lawsuit, and I think they got a payout in the end. Anyway, so they're like, screw this. They left Infinity Ward and started their own company called Respawn. And quite a bit of Infinity Ward staff went with them. I mean, a good amount.
Yeah.
Anyway, then 4 years later, they released Titanfall, which is a game. So the premise of Titanfall is, so basically it's like, it's kind of like, I would say, the Serenity universe, where, like, empty universe, which means there's no aliens, but a bunch of planets and stuff.
Okay.
And the humans go out and colonize it, but then a certain amount of them, like, try to break free, and there's a war.
Okay.
So there's like the Imperialists, which of course all have British accents, old Sword and Sandal movie. And like the scruffy militia rebellion or whatever, which is like the guy from, who's the guy, Mal from
from the Serenity. Firefly and Serenity. Yeah.
Firefly, that's a terrible name for a show.
Nathan Fillion.
Who would never in a trillion years be
Nathan Drake.
Nathan Drake, sorry. It will be Ryan Reynolds. You're welcome. Oh, no, Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper could make it work. I could see that work.
Yeah, I could.
I would not be upset with that.
Anyway, Titanfall. So yeah, that's basically the premise. So there's these ships that orbit planets or whatever, and they can drop Titans, which are these giant mechs. So normally most space games are influenced by James Cameron's Aliens. This is one influenced by James Cameron's Avatar. Because it's basically like, you know, that redneck military guy is like real robot. You'll get your real legs back. Why did that robot have a knife? A giant, oversized knife?
Because it had to, like, fight those...
Na'vi?
The native creatures on the planet. They were, like, those big creatures.
Everything on this planet will eat you for jujubes. Okay, jujubes is an outdated type of candy now.
Right now.
Like, 150 years from now? You're not in Kansas anymore. I'm going to quote a movie that came out 200 years ago.
Maybe he was like Time Man. Maybe he came from like 1939.
And that's how he got
something.
His scar?
Yeah. He traveled through time to like freaking whatever the hell planet that is.
Anyway, so the Titans are basically like those suits from Avatar, except for you can still breathe the air.
Pandora, that's what it was. Pandora.
Yes.
Like Borderlands.
Anyway, how it works is it's you're on foot, unless you're playing a Last Titan standing match, and you're running around shooting people, you know, the usual stuff. There's a lot of AI combatants, too, that are really dumb.
Oh, good.
But you can shoot them and get points, so it's kind of like in the video games where you're fighting the boss, but then, like, the little creatures come out so you can kill them and get their life orbs.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they're like. So, anyway, the faster you kill and the better you do, the faster you get your Titan. You'll still get it anyway, but... It'll be like, you know, your Titan's ready in a minute. But if you do really good, then it's like going to be 20 seconds.
Okay.
And then they say, stand by for Titanfall. We have a title. And the robot falls out of the sky, and you jump in it, and you fight. And you could also have the robot follow you around and like guard stuff. So you don't even have to, you don't have to get in it.
Hmm.
Which is kind of fun because you can like be, you can be shooting a Titan with your anti-Titan weapon, and the Titan will be following you also shooting it.
Yeah.
You know, for like AI.
Hmm.
Anyway, I don't know, I've probably played around 6 hours so far, and so far I find it quite enjoyable.
Hmm.
Yeah, I like it quite a bit. There's certainly some things I can appreciate in it, like versus, like, for instance, Battlefield 4. For instance, it seems to have balance.
What?
Like, Battlefield 4, the armor is way overpowered.
Yes.
See ya.
See ya.
So, like, in a real war, a tank versus a soldier would kill the soldier.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's all well and good, but it's not fun,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's one of my big beefs with Battlefield 4. It's just, there's so much armor.
And yeah, it's way more than was in Part 3.
Yeah.
Because Part 3, there wasn't enough vehicles. I'm like, okay, well, here's more vehicles, and it sucks. The maps where there's no armor or the armor can't move around, those are my favorite maps.
Yeah.
Because you spend your whole time fighting armor.
Yeah, you're just trying to evade armor, basically.
Or drop mines.
Yeah.
And so, like, let's say you're an engineer, right, in Battlefield 4, and you have your anti-tank missile or whatever. You get, like, three of them, I think. Okay. And then if, unless someone drops ammo, which they never do,
yes.
that's all you get. So what always happens in Battlefield is, like, if you're a good player, you run out of ammo quickly.
Yeah.
In Titanfall, they give you a ton of ammo. You get, like...
Nice.
I've never run out of ammo in that game. You get, like, 10 clips and, like, 10 anti-Titan missiles. Like, it pretty much seems unlimited. But it's balanced, so as long as you can... If a Titan's trying to kill you, as long as you can avoid getting hit, the pilots can like do double jumps and they can parkour on walls
yeah.
and they can do all this stuff. So a pilot can actually stand a chance against a Titan and has enough ordnance to maybe take it down.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah. that's one thing I really like about it is if the Titans are considered armor, there's actually balance. So if they can squish you, they can mess you up, but you have, like, a chance. Whereas in Battlefield, it's like, you know, three hits might kill a tank, and you're out of ammo.
Yeah.
So, like, unless you have two people attacking a tank simultaneously in Battlefield, you'll never kill it.
Yeah.
And if they have an engineer, forget it. You'll never,
yeah,
ever
exactly.
kill it. I mean, it's kind of fun. I know Battlefield's all about, like, teamwork and stuff, but people don't play on teams. It's like, unless you're on there with your friends, which you might be, that's still not enough to take on tanks half the time.
Yeah.
Unless everyone's a frickin' engineer. Okay, so, yeah, the things I really like about it, it has a lot of balance with stuff like that. There's a lot of maps. There's, like, 15 maps.
Really?
It. Yeah.
Wow.
There's no bottlenecks. The maps are, well, they're not wide open, but they're very large, and there's all sorts of, you know, tunnels and ways you can move around.
Hmm.
They're not destructible, but I think that's a good thing, because the pilots can, like, evade the Titans, and
yeah.
they're kind of like little rats, you know, biting at an elephant. The Titans are really fun. It's like really cool. It's like, oh, here comes my Titan. And you get in it and you start fighting and it is a lot of fun. As far as negatives, if you sit back and look at it, it's missing a lot of features that most games would have. Like, there's pretty much, well, you can customize your soldier. Like, oh, I've got this gun and this perk and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I can't even find a way to rename them. It's like custom pilot one, custom pilot, you know, Titan 1, 2, 3, like Call of Duty 4, you could like name your kits.
Hmm.
Maybe there's a way to do it, but I can't see it.
Are there, like, a lot of unlocks in it and things like that? Or
yeah, it kind of works like Call of Duty.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot I like about it, but, yeah, there's a few things. I know it's, like, their first effort, you know, it's their studio's first game. There's, like, you can't customize your soldier, or you can't give your Titan a cool paint job. And I know it's superficial,
stuff,
but...
Yeah, you would think they'd have that, like, where you could...
Nope.
...customize your Titan.
It's like, yeah, you can't... It's like... When you do the loadout screen, it's like you can be a rifleman, sniper, there's another one, I think. Or you can, like, make a custom soldier, but you can't even name the custom slot. Because in Call of Duty, you could, like, you know, you could say, oh, it's, you know, kick-ass soldier or super soldier, right? You can
yeah.
name it, but you can't even do that. So it's like, okay, which one is which? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's a way to do it, but...
So are there, like, are there different types of Titans? Like, if you're a sniper soldier, like, do you
Well,
get...
you can get whatever Titan you want.
Oh, so you can get...
doesn't match your class.
Okay.
There's, like, an Atlas, which is, like, the normal balance Titan. There's a fast one called a Strider. And there's, like, a big one called an Ogre. And I think there's a fourth, but I haven't opened that up yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun to play as Titans, because it's kind of like a strategic tank battle. Like, peeking around corners, and you can, like, catch missiles. It's basically exactly like Return to Sender from Bioshock Infinite.
Huh.
You can catch all the missiles and then throw them back, which Neo didn't do in The Matrix Reloaded, which was so lame.
They ran out of money.
They had all the money in the world.
Huh, well, that sounds interesting. I know Parker said he was never going to play Battlefield 4 again.
Just like when you worked at Walmart, people said, I'm never coming to Walmart again.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, you'll be on there again in a few weeks, probably.
Yeah, well, I can see how people would be hesitant. It's like, well, there's no single player, although nobody cares. Like, Mike and Tusk, for instance, they never play single player.
Yeah,
never,
yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people like that. It's like, oh, I'm getting less value because I'm not playing this thing I didn't get. I don't know. I don't know if it's like selling really well or moving Xbox Ones. I mean, I have it on PC, of course.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask you, if you think it's like a console seller type game. I know that's what Microsoft was kind of hoping, that it'd be like a new Halo or something, but...
It actually has a lot. It is... It's. I would say it's more Halo than Call of Duty in its feel. I don't know. It's fun. I mean, I certainly enjoy playing it. It's like, and it's different because it's not like, you know, blah, blah, gotta fight Russia or blah, blah. You know, all these like, you know, slight future war. Because I don't want to think about that kind of thing. I mean, you know, you see this, like the Ukraines in the news.
Yeah.
Like, do I want to think about a war with Russia or China? It's like, fuck that. I want to be in the future and space. That's like more interesting.
Yeah, it's like either be future space or somebody make a World War II shooter again.
Yeah, when are we going to roll back around to that war?
I bet the gaming community is ready for that again, because I don't see how people aren't burned out on the whole modern warfare thing at this point.
I would say, okay, let's see. So World War II thing was started by Medal of Honor on PlayStation 1, which came out in 1999. And then they pretty much, and then of course Medal of Honor Allied Assault, the PC version, is where it really broke out. That was 2002. And then 5 years later, we had Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Because remember when Modern Warfare came out? I was like, oh my god, it's modern day? That's, you know, the Iraq War.
It was still revolutionary.
You know, it was a bold choice. And now it's like, so that was, because that was 8 years. So we're kind of almost getting to the point where, yeah, the Modern Warfare trend has almost been as long as, well, if we don't count the first Medal of Honor, if we just count like 2002,
yeah.
I mean, it's already been longer than the World War II trend.
Yeah.
I just miss the good old days, like Allied Assault. I don't know if you ever played that one on the PC. That was a great game. It would have missions you would never see in a game nowadays. It's like, sneak into this base, right?
Yeah.
And you had like a silence pistol, and the music, and Michael Giacchino did the music for it.
Yes, yep.
Excellent score. And you'd be like, like this weird thing. You sneak around these buildings, like, you know, like taking people out with a silence pistol, and you're just by yourself.
Yeah.
You won the whole war by yourself.
That's right, Army of One.
I miss that shit.
Yeah.
And now it's like a squad of people. It's like, ooh, let's make these characters be interesting. It's like, who cares? Bad Company 2 was, that had a cool squad. But I actually thought that game was really funny and entertaining.
Yeah.
But most games don't. It's just like, you know, you, rah, 50 clicks in the DZ and blah, blah, blah. I don't care.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's like, I know we've talked about this, I think, in the old podcast days. But yeah, it was just like, I don't know. For me, World War II is just a more interesting setting. It's like, you know, the enemies and the good guys, it's very clear cut. It's like, it feels more like there's something at stake when you're playing those games, where like nowadays it's always like this generic Eastern European enemy, or, you know,
separatists.
Yeah, some nonsense.
They can't say Russia. Well, I think they do sometimes, but
yeah. But it's like, it's just not that interesting, where like that stuff, you know, it was like, when you're like storming the Reichstag and stuff like that, it's like, okay, this is fucking cool. Cause it's like, this actually happened. You know, it, I don't know. It just always felt like you were more invested in it, I guess, was the thing. And the thing too is, it's like, you don't have these fucking weapons with like night vision and all this like futuristic, or even, you know, just the modern technology. It's like, it's just you with a iron sights, you know, or whatever.
Fighting
like
Nazis.
Yeah. You know, and like, which Call of Duty was that? I think it was Call of Duty where it was like, send in the dogs! Like,
it was a World at War.
Yeah, that's right. And that game was awesome.
They have released the hounds! Yeah, that game was a lot of fun.
And it was like, oh shit, here come these goddamn dogs. There have to be like this pack of freaking dogs coming to kill you. It was awesome.
I think there's a certain like romanticism about World War II, and that's one of the reasons why it's more interesting. I mean, obviously World War II was a horrific, you know, thing in history, but I don't know, but I think because it was about heroism and like really clear-cut good versus evil,
mm-hmm. yeah.
rather than, you know, territories and the kind of things that cause wars nowadays. Well, I guess that's what caused World War II as well, but
it's just like political bullshit more nowadays.
Yeah, it's like, you know, is this really interesting? It's like, oh, I'm in a cave in Afghanistan and blah, blah, blah. And also, you know, there's a distance, you know.
Yeah.
There's like, you know, World War II, like, there's really no ambiguity about it. You know, it's just like, it happened. Like, the Iraq War, you know, is still, you know, should we have done it? Should we have not have done it? Blah, blah, blah. You know, these are obviously still questions that linger. And whenever you have, like, a game with a modern war setting, those comparisons are going to be drawn, you know.
Yeah.
Whenever there's a game like that, you know, people are like, oh, this is just a game about, you know, America and imperialism or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the games are never really a commentary on it.
No.
They don't even, that never comes up. And I'm not saying the games are all a bunch of, like, you know, like, you know, military propaganda, but, yeah, there just needs to be, like, a distance of time, you know, like...
Yeah, it helps. Well, that's the thing, yeah, it's like, imagine World War II happened 10 years ago. It's like, yeah, you wouldn't really want to play games based on it, because it's like, it'd be too fresh and too close.
So. Although they say people come back from Iraq and play Call of Duty, so...
Yeah,
you'd think that would be a little too, you know, close to home.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I don't know. But hopefully somebody will make one of those again, and I think we're...
What about Wolfenstein, The New Order, although it doesn't take place in World War II?
When does it take place?
The premise is the Nazis won World War II, and it's like a Nazi-run world, and it's like the 1960s, and like a Nazi-run England or something. I don't know. I'm sure no one will buy it. Oh, sorry, spoiler warning.
It's like that... Sounds kind of like that Harry Turtledove guy. He's like this author that writes alternate history stuff where it's kind of like, what if the South won the Civil War? And then it leaps forward in time from there to kind of look at how things would have been or whatever. And it's, you know, all fictional stories and stuff, but it's kind of like alternate history type stories. So it sounds kind of like in that same
vein. Again, it's like, it's not real.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, it's like, you don't want it to be too real, but with real, with distance, then, like you said, World War II has kind of been romanticized. You know, we've seen it in umpteen many movies over the years and all these things. And, you know, and of course, you know, being Americans, you know, we have this view of it that, like, oh, you know, yeah, you know, saved Europe and blah, 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 and all this shit or whatever. And it's just, you know, it's this thing where, I guess, as a nation, we take pride in it, or in our role in it, anyways.
And most of these games are made by Western developers,
yes,
as well.
Yeah, and so.
Well, like Vietnam, I mean, you never see Vietnam games.
Yeah, it's really rare.
Because there's a lot of people that are, well, still people alive from World War II, but, you know, there's people that are, you know, 60 years old who are in Vietnam, but then it's a war that, you know, it was unpopular at the time, and it was like, in retrospect, it's like, oh, I guess we shouldn't have done that. And so they don't really romanticize it with video games very much.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the Iraq War, I'm not trying to be political, but it's at least as, you know, dubious or questionable.
Yeah.
But I know these games aren't about the Iraq War, although I guess one of the Medal of Honors was about, you know, Afghanistan.
Oh, that's right.
But still having a modern day war that's always like in the Middle East and always like Russia or, you know, the Middle East, it's like, that's pretty much the same thing as an Iraq war game.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just like, I don't know, it gets tiring.
Yeah, so. I mean, it'd be one thing if, like, there was, like, one of those games coming out each year, but it's like, no, there's a Call of Duty, there's a Battlefield, every now and then there's a Medal of Honor, you know, and they're all essentially the same subject matter. It's like...
Yeah. Well, shit, Battlefield 2 was, it was like U.S. It was like the United States, China, and then the United. It wasn't the United Arab Emirates, but it was like, you know, like a
Middle Eastern coalition. Yep.
It's like, oh, that's kind of. And again, that game came out even more at the height of the Iraq War. But it's like, you know, I guess that's probably what would happen.
Yeah.
But of course, that was like 50,000 modern war games.
Yes.
Ago, so it was more novel than anything. It's like, oh. This isn't in World War II. Ooh, this is ripped from tomorrow's headlines.
Yeah, like if it came out now, it'd be like a ho-hum, you know? So.
Yeah. Also, I'm sick of zombies.
Yeah, that too.
Like, The Last of Us is being made into a movie, and all they're doing is adapting the story from the game, which makes sense, but why?
Yeah. I don't know. I still haven't finished that game. I keep... I have people at work that keep telling me, it's like, you gotta finish that thing, you gotta finish it, you're so close to where the game gets good. And I'm like 58%. I looked at my save stats. I'm 58% of the way into the game and it still hasn't hooked me. It's like, it's fucking work to me. And they're like, but the end part of the game totally makes up for all that. And I'm like, I wouldn't stick with a shitty movie this long, you know, that wasn't interested in me.
I thought about getting the apple and I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, there's things about it that are good and stuff, but it's just, I don't know, it just, there's no hook to it. It's not fun. That's what I'll say about it. It's not fun. It's not entertaining.
The story is good, though? Or?
There's good elements to it, like the two main characters, like the guy and the girl. You know, like, they're good. They're very well done. You know, the voice acting's really good.
But you don't consider it fun?
Yeah, it's just, like, the combat's not enjoyable.
Well, you know, like, if there was an apocalypse, it wouldn't be fun.
True.
Unless it was Fallout 3, then it'd be. Then that'd be awesome.
Well, yeah, yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, I think that is part of it. That's a good point, is that I think it very accurately portrays what that sort of circumstance would be like. It's like you're confronted with, okay, I've got to get out of this metropolitan area and I've got to get to like this group of people. And then you're kind of like constantly confronted with all of the difficulties of that situation. You know, like you got to get a truck. No. Oh shit, the truck's battery doesn't work. You got to like run across town and find a battery or whatever. You know, you got to fight off all these infected people. You got to find food. You know, whatever.
I was thinking about apocalypse just today because we were wiring those lights. So I had some of the circuit breakers off, and the light didn't work in the bathroom. So I had to take a flashlight in with me. And I'm like, you know, if it was an apocalypse, this would be a normal event. Then what if I ran out of batteries?
What if you ran out of toilet paper?
See, if there was an apocalypse, it'd be toilet paper, bullets, cigarettes and booze. Those would be the currencies. If I ever make a post-apocalyptic game, those would be the four currencies. I think Metro Last Light, actually, the currency in that game is bullets.
Really?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I guess, yeah, that's why Walking Dead would not be a good pinball machine. I know this keeps coming up, but it's a good show because the situation, well, it's... I watch it. I don't know if I...
I've never even bothered to watch a frame.
But it's not fun. It's like, you know, there's kids being killed and zombies and rape and all this stuff. It's like, good story does not equal fun.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that's... I just... Whatever happened to fun? You know, whatever happened to superheroes being fun? Everything's dark and reboot. Yeah. Every time you read about movies, like, oh, this new movie coming out, and it's taking the Batman Begins route. You see that every goddamn time. It's like, oh my god, and now everything is aping Avengers. It's like,
yeah,
like let's build an entire universe and cram a bunch. Like Spider-Man 2 is probably going to collapse under its own weight. Fake Spider-Man 2, because they're like, oh, we have to make as many movies as possible so Spider-Man doesn't go back to Marvel for like 20 years. And Fox is doing the same thing. They got
with
X-Men Apocalypse, and they're doing Wolverine Part 2, or actually Part 3. Ugh.
Yeah, I'm still, I mean, I know we've talked about that too, but I'm still amazed that like the whole superhero thing just hasn't died yet.
Well, there hasn't been an atomic bomb of a superhero movie to kill it.
True, yeah.
I mean, there's no Batman and Robin. Oh, there wasn't even a superhero trend in the 90s.
No.
That just killed Batman for like... That only kills superheroes because... X-Men was the one that... X-Men started it off, and then Spider-Man really started it off.
Yeah, that was like the cat, really... That was like the big bang, basically. Yeah,
I mean, Spider-Man made way more money than X-Men did.
Well, it was the first movie to break $100 million on its opening weekend, and it... What was it, like $114 it made? It, like, shattered it.
Well, it had, like, a wet t-shirt, Kristen Dunst kissing someone in the rain, in the trailer, so...
Yeah, and it was right... It was in... You know, the summer following September 11th and all that, and, you know, people were looking for something like that. It was, you know, good timing and everything.
There was, like, that missing teaser trailer where Spider-Man catches a helicopter filled with bank robbers in between the World Trade Center towers.
That was so cool, and I remember that trailer, and it's like, that's badass.
Oh, Mark Webb can suck it. I will never watch that movie.
I liked it.
I'm sure it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because whatever happened, here we go. This should be the topic of our next episode because we're kind of going over here. But
yeah.
Whatever happened to cheese?
True. Sam Raimi took it with him.
I am the hero the city needs. I mean, Iron Man is kind of cheesy, his character, and I think that's why people like him because he's got some levity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the big thing is it's like, you know, you have to look at the character. Like for Batman, he is a dark character. He's got this dark origin story. You know, everything about it is dark. It makes sense for the tone of that movie to be dark. But like, you know, Spider-Man, I mean, yeah, his uncle dies and stuff like that or whatever, but it's like, overall, he's not in that shitty of a situation, I guess. Well, I guess, yeah, what is it? His actual parents are dead. I guess he's not in the greatest situation, but...
Or are they?
Yeah, dun dun dun. But it's one of those things where it's like, that's more of a light-hearted story generally, you know, and it's just, you have to look at the character. It's like, just because it worked for Batman doesn't mean it's going to work for, like, everything.
That's what they think, though.
Yeah, and it's like, plus, not every movie has, like, Christopher Nolan making it either.
Oh.
You know, it's like, he's a, you know, talented director, and not all these other people necessarily are at his level, so.
I think X-Men is going to be a mess.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I was very disappointed when Matthew Vaughn wasn't going to be doing it, so.
And then Bryan Singer crawled back to the franchise after several failures, or, well, I guess Jack and Beanstalk, nobody went to it, and so the movies weren't failures, but.
Yeah, they weren't big successes.
I mean, that's what Peter Jackson did with The Hobbit, and I didn't go see the second one, I won't see the third one.
Yep, I still haven't seen the second, we held strong on that.
I don't want to see that shit! I could take a dump for 3 hours. I could do so many other things that would be more fulfilling than watching that garbage. Yeah, you know they will make... Oh, they can't make the Silmarillion. Oh, they will.
Oh, yeah.
They'll make it. And it'll be 50 books. No, it'll be 50 movies.
Yeah.
They'll split it into 50 movies somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought of that like a week or two ago. I was driving to work or something. I'm like, that's right. Me and Ben, we held strong and we did not see that goddamn movie.
It made less money than the first one, didn't it?
I don't know. It's kind of hung in there because, like, China just opened recently and it got big boost. So it's going to come close to $1 billion, sadly.
Ugh.
Domestically, it didn't do as well. But.
Gross.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I didn't watch it a second time. I was like.
I tried, but I couldn't make it more than 10 minutes.
I have this thing, like, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm old and crusty, but it doesn't even matter if it's opening night. Like, if I don't like a movie, like, I immediately did not like Phantom Menace. I immediately did not like The Matrix. No, I actually liked the third Matrix movie, but the second one, right off the bat, I'm like, this is something wrong with this. I know you like it, but...
Yeah, yeah.
But you have to admit, a lot of people don't.
Yeah, oh yeah, certainly.
And, like, Hobbit, Hobbit didn't start off, but by about the halfway mark, or 4 hours into the movie, I was like, this is garbage. You know, it was just garbage.
Yeah. I can't think of anything about that movie that I liked. Like, looking back on it, it's just not good.
And everything was so goddamn fake. They actually filmed in locations in the old movie.
Yeah.
It's all green screen garbage. Ugh. But I think the part where the movie really, really lost me was when they're like, oh, we have to have Agent Smith and Magneto and Kate Blanchett. We have to have those characters all in one scene. Even though they're not in the book, but people remember those characters.
Yeah.
And they sit around a table discussing what had already happened in the movie.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, fuck this. This is... Then this happened, and this happened. That happened, did it, Gandalf? Yes, it happened.
It's like you realize you're taking one book and making three movies out of it. You don't need... You know,
it was just filler.
You got plenty... Yeah, that's the big problem with that movie. Like, so much of it is filler. Like that Goblin King stuff, they just needed some sort of bullshit antagonist, so they jammed that in there, and it was not interesting.
Or like that 3 hour part where there's like that guy had a sled of rabbits, and they're like he's going in circles. The orcs went like
that,
like,
whole section could have just been.
There was no
chopped.
Drama in that. Nothing.
Yeah, you had no investment.
Well, the
in
laws
that character.
Of physics don't exist in Middle Earth, so how can you have any? How can there be any peril? You know, like. I mean, yeah, the original trilogy had a lot of, like, you know, like, oh, Frodo's dead, oh, he's not dead. Oh, Aragorn's dead, oh, he's not dead. Yeah, but at least, like, the characters got beat up and they got injured and Frodo got scarred. Like you know, they fall, like, what, half a mile through that cave? And
yeah, that's
bullshit.
They
didn't need to do that. You didn't even need that. They just needed a fucking action sequence.
Yeah.
And they decided to end it, like, with, like, somebody from, like, the real Ghostbusters. It's like, that would never...
That was my fuck this scene in that movie, was that part when they fall like a goddamn mile and somehow just get up and keep running. But, yeah, it's... I don't know. Not good. But that's the thing. They don't invest you in the characters. They just basically say, oh, you liked Lord of the Rings? Well, guess what? This is the same world. You're going to like these characters. Yeah. Or Lord of the Rings, that gave you some time to, like, get to know them and all that and get invested. And this one just, you know,
there's something to be said for brevity. That's another thing that's missing. Levity and brevity are so missing in movies nowadays. I was reading an article on Arnold Schwarzenegger's, like, Terminator Genesis will be more like Terminator 2. It's like, oh, is he ripping on Terminator 3?
Yeah.
It's like Terminator 2 has issues. It's too goddamn long for one thing. Terminator 3 was short, sweet, and to the point.
God, that movie is great.
See, the thing is, the problem is we'll never get... See, okay, if I would have made the Terminator sequels, this is what they should have done. Terminator Salvation or whatever. They could have made three movies. You know, they always want to make a goddamn trilogy out of everything. It's like you start the next movie immediately after Terminator 3 ends. Like,
yes.
How did they get out of that mountain base? Who did he contact? How did the robots evolve? How did the humans form groups? You know, show us that shit. Planet of the Apes remake showed us that shit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's how the apes took over the Earth. It's like they showed us that. But Terminator's like, oh, he's holding hands with Claire Danes. Bam. Now the war's in full effect. We don't care. Like, show us what happened. And then you have that. That's the first movie. The second movie, everything's dour. You know, that's always how I like to make the second movie. Like, humans are being loaded and burned and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's a chance. Like, we know where the time travel equipment is. And then you have, like, an old John Connor finds, like, an orphan Kyle Reese and mentors him, like, a father figure.
Yeah.
Then the third movie ends with Kyle Reese going back in time to save Sarah Connor. Boom. Done.
Yep.
But we'll never get that now. Yeah. Now we're getting some shit where, like, it's like the Back to the Future. This is how they're doing Genesis. It's like the Back to the Future 2, where another Terminator is going to key points that happened previously in the movies. Like, oh, here's that scene from Terminator 2. And then J.K. Simmons is like a detective that's trying to piece together all the clues. Right? It's gonna... Shit. And the son, the guy... The meathead guy from Die Hard 5, Jay Coulter, or whatever the fuck his name is, he's Kyle Reese. Queen of Dragons is Sarah Connor, which is why I said Game of Thrones has two Sarah Connors in it now. And oh my god, see, they could have perfectly. I think part of the reason they didn't do that was because T3 wasn't highly regarded, so they didn't want to continue that. But you know, and then like Claire Danes turned into Bryce Dallas Howard. But
yeah, and then Nick Stahl just disappeared.
Well, I guess what happened with Terminator Salvation was, the plot was a lot different, but once Christian Bale got attached, he's like, I have to be the star. So they had to rework the whole movie to, like, do that, and I think that's why it was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
And, like, the way they filmed it was, John Connor dies, and they take his skin and stick it on the Terminator guy, because at the end where he's like, oh, take my heart to fix him, that's done in a voiceover. So you can tell they had shot the original ending, but the original ending was leaked on the internet. Or, I'm sorry, what was going to happen? They hadn't filmed it, but someone on the internet found out. It's like, oh, this is how this ends. They rip off John Connor's skin and put it on the Terminator so you can be like the new John Connor. And they just end it with a voiceover, take my heart. So you know they filmed it, and they changed it because of the internet rumors. But that would have been an interesting ending.
Yes, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, there would have been like a dun-dun-dun.
I thought Anton Yelchin was a pretty good Kyle Reese in the...
Yeah, he did a good job.
...Salvation or whatever. But we'll never...
Yeah, that won't ever happen.
It's just like, we'll never see the Nottingham movie that Robin Hood was developed from.
That would have been cool, yeah. Because it was basically from the sheriff's perspective.
Yeah, the sheriff was the good guy. It was about, like, medieval forensics. And but then that movie, this really interesting script, was developed into a bog standard Robin Hood movie that no one will ever remember.
Yeah.
And we'll never get to see Nottingham because it was made. It just wasn't made. So that's... Oh, why is Arnold Schwarzenegger in the new Terminator?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's
because he has nothing else to do, I guess.
He can make Escape Plan 2, the escapening.
He's like driving over shit with a tank with people.
It's my tank!
I saw that thing. It's like, smoke stogies and drive over shit with Arnold in a tank. And I'm like, well, that does sound pretty awesome. But yeah, it's, well, like you say all the time, it's like nobody wants anything new.
Nope. Well, We should probably wrap this up for today.
Very well.
We did talk about video games a few times in there.
See, the problem is I need to, like, find some games to play. Then I'll have more to say about them. Because I just, like, basically if I play something, I play Old Republic, and nobody wants to hear about that, I guess. So
it's still a game. Well, we could talk about when Elder Scrolls Online comes out and bombs. We could talk about that.
Yeah, we could.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm right.
I already see, like, a bunch of people, like, in the chat and stuff. Like, people in Star Wars are going and, like, trying the beta for that, and they're basically saying it's shit. They're saying it's, like, after, like, a month or two, people will go back to whatever MMO they were playing before Elder Scrolls came out.
The way I look at it, it's like, you know, how much further away is Fallout 4 because of Elder Scrolls Online? Even if they had a different team, I don't care. I'm just going to assume they could have spent the money on Fallout 4. Fallout 4 is a guaranteed smash hit. There's like this entire graveyard of companies that have tried to make, you know, MMOs. Mm-hmm. I know they don't all have to be super successful, but it's like, or you could just, like, how much fucking money did Skyrim make? It's like,
yeah. Well, the tough,
that's good enough.
Well, the tough thing, too, with Elder Scrolls Online is that they're trying to do the subscription model, and everything I'm hearing about the beta and what people are saying about the plan for it, they're like, they don't have a plan worthy of a subscription model. You know, it's going to be the same thing that happened with, like, Star Wars. It's like, in a very short time period to be able to sustain it, they're going to have to turn it into a free-to-play cash-shop game.
When you can buy Skyrim or Fallout 3 and get, like, 80 hours easily out of the base game for $60, why would anyone pay $15 a month?
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I could go... I'll never finish it, but there's tons of shit I could still do in Skyrim. Mm-hmm. I could put another 40 hours in it easily. I mean, I won't, but, yeah, why would I... Why would I do? I mean, yeah. I play all the Bethesda games. I will not touch Elder Scrolls Online. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even get a chance. I just don't care.
Yep.
And it's not even because of the money. It's just that I just don't care.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Would you try it if it was free to play? Like, would
I
you,
still wouldn't.
You still wouldn't. Wouldn't even burn the hard drive space.
Nope. On it. This is from someone who bought every expansion. Fallout 3 is the only game on Xbox ever got every achievement for. Every achievement.
Yep.
Yeah, and Skyrim, I have like 110 hours in it. Elder Scrolls Online, do not care.
Yeah, I'm scared to see, like, if I went in on all my Star Wars characters and saw how much time I have in that game. It would be obscene, the amount of time that's in it. I don't really want to total that up.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll leave on that note then. So we'll see you all next month on the BenHeck.com podcast.
Adios.